Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Let's stand together, please. 1 Peter chapter 5. I'll be in East Ridge, Tennessee next Sunday, Lord willing. Lord willing. Matter of fact, I ain't supposed to be here today, but anyhow, Lord willing, I'll be in Chattanooga next week preaching. I won't be here next Sunday. But I'll say this, church, thank you for honoring the man of God. You've heard me say this 1,000 times. I say it every week where I'm preaching. Most churches does not realize the caliber of the man of God they have until he's gone. And don't let that happen. I appreciate you loving the pastor, loving our pastor, taking good care of him, Miss Leslie and the girls. And you take care of God's business, and God take care of your business. Amen. And I appreciate it from the depths of my heart. And I appreciate you doing that next Sunday. I sure wish I could be here. I'll guarantee you somebody would help a banana pudding. And I'll guarantee you Randy Castle will eat some of it. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be your inheritance through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perished though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, ye believe and rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Receive the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. Can I read you one more verse? You need to hang on to this verse. Bible said in Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 27, By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of, let's read the verse right. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, but endured as seeing him who is invisible. Hang on to the last part of that statement. As seeing him who is invisible. Our Heavenly Father, as we look into the Word of God tonight, Lord, I don't have to tell you how much I need you tonight. You know that. Father, you know my need better than I do myself. And I have a real desire to be a help and to be a blessing tonight. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. I certainly don't take it for granted. I would have gladly sat here tonight and heard my pastor preach tonight. And Lord, I enjoyed this morning. I pray you'll help us now tonight. Speak to our hearts out of the Word of God tonight. And I realize tonight, Lord, before we ever got here tonight, even a month ago and 2 months ago, you knew who would be here tonight. You knew what they would need. You knew what needed to be said. So I pray you'll take the Word of God and work in our hearts tonight. Most of all, if there's somebody here lost, you'll save them. If there's somebody here discouraged tonight, I pray, God, that you'll encourage them in the good things of God. Speak to our heart tonight, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for sending you to be seated tonight. I love studying Simon Peter's writings. I love studying what Peter has to say. And when you come to this chapter here tonight, this is an awesome chapter of Scripture here at 1 Peter chapter number 1. And I just want to say this tonight. Had you read about Simon Peter in the Gospels, you would have never believed Simon Peter wrote these chapters here. Because when you study about Simon Peter in the Gospel, you'll find all kinds of problems he had. I've said it 1,000 times, and I'll say it again tonight. Simon Peter and I have a lot in common. Simon Peter had a disease the same time I've got tonight. He'll say, what is it? It's called hoof disease. Open your mouth and insert your foot. Amen. And Simon Peter was real good at doing that. And may I say this tonight? When you study about Simon Peter here and the Gospels tonight, you would have never dreamed that he wrote 1 Peter and 2 Peter tonight. But aren't you glad tonight God don't see what we are? God sees what we're going to be. Amen. And I taught on that here during Bible school. You remember Gideon? God said unto Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. He certainly wasn't a mighty man of valor when God said that to him. And God saw what he was going to be. And so it is with Simon Peter here tonight. And when you study about Simon Peter tonight, there's some tremendous truths here that's mentioned in these two books tonight. 1 Peter and 2 Peter tonight has some deep Bible truths here that Simon Peter brings out here in these chapters tonight. But in chapter number 1 tonight, and I'll give you this way of introduction, I'll preach in just a minute. But in chapter number 1 tonight, you'll find here tonight, it's a tremendous chapter to encourage the children of God. For instance, you study this tonight, verse number 2 through verse number 4, you'll find the Christians are born for glory. I said the Christians are born for glory. Look at verse number 2. Bible said elect, and now I love that word. That word does not scare me. That word does not bother me. I like that word. Look at it tonight. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father through the sanctification of the Spirit, and to the obedience of the sprinkling of blood of Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you, and peace be multiplied. You say, what is all that saying? Elect according to the foreknowledge of God. You say, what's that saying tonight? Is that Calvinistic? No, sir. That don't have a thing to do with Calvinism. That just simply means tonight God knew who would be saved, who would not be saved. He knows all that tonight. Has it ever dawned on you? Nothing's ever dawned on God. He knows it all tonight. He sure does. And in this tonight, we see the Christian is born for glory. He goes on down in verse number 3 and says, how blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, how which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again. How the word begotten means born again. And hey, we're born for glory. Thank God if you're saved tonight. Hear me tonight. If you're saved tonight, guess what? You're going to heaven. Hey, you're born for glory tonight. You say, well, if I don't make it, if you're saved, you've already made it. He's already seen you seated together in the heavenlies tonight. I want to say, first of all, in this chapter tonight, Christian is born for glory. But look at verse number 5. Bible said verse number 5, who are kept by the power of God. If that ever dawns on you, we'll have to catch you at Haystack Road. Here kept by the power of God. That word kept is a military term. And it simply means to be guarded. It means to watch as a spy watching a gate. And may I say to you tonight, listen to me now, Christians are kept for glory, who are kept by the power of God. Hey, hear me tonight, hear me well tonight. You're going to heaven if you're saved. You're kept by the power of God tonight. It's not what you do, what you don't do. When you get saved, thank God you're his and you're kept for glory, amen. But notice this, I don't want to preach on that, but it's a good thing to preach. Look at verse 6 and 7. And verse number 6 and 7 tonight, you see Christians are being prepared for glory. You'll say, what do you mean? Well, look at verse 6. Wherein we great rejoice though now for a season. If need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptation. That the trial of your faith. You know what the trials of our faith does? It prepares us for glory. I'm going to say that again. I said the trials of our faith, it prepares us for glory tonight. Oh, yes, it does. You see the Christian being prepared for glory. But look at verse number 8 through 12. And verse 8 through 12 tonight, you see the Christian can enjoy it. The Christian can enjoy glory. Hey, the Bible said in verse number 8, look at the latter part of verse number 8. Yet you believe, rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And may I say this to you tonight? Hey, listen, we can rejoice in the fact that we're saved. Hey, Christians, I can enjoy salvation tonight. Hey, I'm glad I'm saved by the grace of God. I said, I'm glad I'm saved by the grace of God. I said, I'm glad I'm saved by the grace of God. But I want to preach out verse 8. Look at verse 8. Notice in verse number 8 again. Whom, having not seen, ye love. And whom, though you see him not, you believe and rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I want to talk to you a little bit tonight out of that verse tonight. Look at it again. Having not seen, you believe. Having not seen, you love. And though you see him not, you rejoice. And you remember the verse I gave you a while ago? Bible said in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, as seeing him who is invisible, as seeing him who is invisible. Again in our verse here tonight, having not seen, ye believe. I want to preach tonight on this word, one word, unseen, unseen. And I'll just say this real quick before I get to my thought tonight. You have never seen him with a natural eye. I have never seen him with a natural eye. Neither have you ever seen him with a natural eye. But thank God I have seen him. How with an eye of faith. How unseen tonight. Having not seen you love tonight. I'll say this to you again. Listen to me. There's not a one in this room that has ever seen Jesus with a visible eye. You'll say, now wait a minute, preacher. I just want you to know I had an experience. Let me tell you what kind you had. You ate pizza about 11 o'clock at night and went to bed. That's what your problem was. Are you hearing me? I'm telling you tonight, I have never seen him with a natural eye. But thank God one day I will see him. Are you hearing me tonight? I never will forget this. I was preaching revival back in the 90s. And Brother Eddie Shoemaker, he's in heaven now. Brother Shoemaker come up to me one night after the meeting on Friday, or during the meeting. He said, how would you and Miss Jen like to go on a cruise? We've never been on a cruise. I cruised across Kerr Scott Dam one time, and we almost had to go to divorce court over that. But anyhow, ask her about it later. Don't ask her. Don't brag it up. But anyhow, I said, Brother Eddie, I can't go. I've never been on a cruise. And I said, we can't go on a cruise. I don't have the money. He said, what if I told you we could go to the Bahamas and stay 5 days and go on a cruise for $400? I said, count me in. Listen to this. If it seems too good to be true, you know the rest of that. So I finished that meeting, and on Sunday afternoon, we preached on Sunday morning. Sunday afternoon, we loaded up in his van and drove to Miami, Florida, got there on Monday morning to get on the cruise. Had to go down to the Bahamas. And so we get there, and we pull up in the parking lot. I'm looking for this great old big cruise ship. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You know, 4 or 5 stories high. Got your room on air condition. Are y'all hearing me? But they wasn't one of them there. As a matter of fact, one of them couldn't have been there where this boat was at, because it wasn't big enough. And so we go down to board the boat, not ship. And I get down there, and Brother Stan, it was this little boat. Had a piece of tin across the top. That's the truth, isn't it? Had a piece of tin across the top. And I don't guess it was school bus seats, but it looked like school bus seats. And you just line up in the boat, outside open. I don't know if they had a bathroom on it or not. And here we go. I want to kill that preacher. And here we go to the Bahamas. I'm going somewhere over this. Here we go. And so we ride. How long did we ride, Mama? 3 or 4 hours? 2 or 3 hours? She don't remember. It's been 40 years ago. 3 or 4 hours we rode on that boat and wound up on an island called Freeport. And Freeport is part of the Bahamas. And I'm about half backslid. I'm mad. Man, I didn't get my air conditioned room. I heard about all that food you get on cruise. Bless God, we didn't even get a cracker. Y'all hearing me preach? We got nothing. And so I'm upset. And we pull into this place on Freeport Island in the Bahamas. Lake Norman would have been heaven beside this place. And we pull in there, and they begin to help us off the boat. And this black guy standing there driving a taxi cab. Brother Eddie tells us, said, we need to go to so-and-so motel. I knew it'd be a Hampton Inn. I mean, I just, you know, $400. I knew. I'm going somewhere with this. Just hang on. And we get in that car, and we start down the road, and I said, hey, sir. I said, do you go to church? He said, I sure do. And by the way, we're the only white people, I think, on the island. He said, I sure do. I said, what's the name of your church? He said, St. John Baptist. I said, do y'all have church on Wednesday night? We sure do. I said, would you mind coming to our motel and get us naked to church with you Wednesday night? I'll pay if you'll come and get. He said, I won't charge you a thing. I'll come get. We'd be glad to have you. So, but we got in that motel. I cannot tell you what it was like. I'm going somewhere with this. One of the first nights we was there, Brother Eddie and Diane's room was right beside of ours. You could just walk through the door. And Eddie knocks on the door, 2 o'clock in the morning. Hey! I said, what do you want? He said, there's somebody trying to break my room. So what do y'all mean to do? He said, I said, well, who is it? He said he's an electrician. 2 o'clock in the morning. You ain't never heard this story. 2 o'clock in the morning. He said, what should I do? I said, well, let him in. I ain't let him in. I said, okay, I'll tell you what let's do. I'm going somewhere with this. I said, here's what let's do. You bring Diane into my room, and Diane and Jim will get in the bathroom and lock the door. And I'm going to get up on the bed. I didn't have a knife. I didn't have a gun. But I did have a little piece. How many of you remember Monroe Shocks? You remember Monroe Shocks? If you bought a set, you got a little sliding knife with it. A little razor blade sliding knife. I don't know why I had it, but I had it with me. And I said, Eddie, you open the door. I'm going to get up on the bed. I've got this knife. If he jumps on you, I'm coming off on top of him. Now, that dude come in. Listen, I'm going somewhere with this. I promise I am. That dude came in there, and you know what I done, Brother Scotty? There's a wire, a hole about that big through the wall. You can see into the other room. And he wiggled the wire so the man in the next room's TV would work. Did I tell y'all if it sounds too good to be true, it might not be true? I never been so disappointed in my life. It was at 5 days on that island. I mean, 5 days before the boat was going to leave again. I'd about ready to swim back. But anyhow, on Wednesday night, here's my thought. Wednesday night, he came to get us. And we go to St. John's Baptist Church. Was he 200 there? At least, maybe 300. That was probably 300 black people and 4 whiteys. And Sunday got to singing, and I loved it. You ever been to black church when they get in the Holy Ghost singing? I'm not sure there's in the Holy Ghost, but I liked it. It got on. About the second or third song, I get to doing like this. And old Eddie Shoemaker, he got to doing like that. Diane grabbed his coat and said, "Shut up, are you hearing me?" But I never will forget this. Here's my thought. The man gets up and says, "Now our pastor's not here tonight." And said, "But we got a preacher, and you're really going to enjoy her." Sister Smiley. She walks to the pulpit. She tires into preaching. You say, "Preacher, I would have got up and left." 5 miles, pitch dark, on an island, everybody black but you. You going to walk back to that motel? So I sat there. I'm going somewhere with this. I sat there and endeared that. When she, I'll be honest with you, she preached a lot better than some fellas I heard. But anyhow, here's what I started to say. When she got done, here they come with a handful of hand towels. I thought, "Dear Lord, they're going to wash feet tonight. What are they going to do?" And they had a healing service. And everybody come down and got healed. Brother Robert, when they'd hit him, say, "If they'd hit me like that, it wouldn't have been pretty." But when they hit them, they'd always fall out. And then women fell out and keep their dresses down. They put the hand towels over them. I'm telling you, we had a vacationer. Y'all hear me? It was on. But here's my thought of telling that whole story. She was preaching that night, and here's what she said. "I never shall forget the first time I seen Jesus." I thought, "Buddy, it's going to be interesting." She said, "It was right here on the island of Freeport in a motel. The first time I seen Jesus." And she said, "You know what he said?" I said, "Mama, get the pen out. Write this down." I was so disappointed what she said. I thought she's going to tell us that Jesus told him maybe what toenail color polish the Antichrist had or something. I look for something deep. And she said, "You know what he said?" She said, "He said, he come and stood at the foot of my bed and said, I'm simple." I was so disappointed. I mean, it's like letting an arrow out of a balloon. Are you hearing me? Now, I said every bit of that to say this. That's a long story. I shouldn't even told it. But listen to me now. She ain't seen Jesus. And the truth of the matter is, you ain't never seen Jesus. But I have seen him, thank God, out with an eye of faith. Look at my text again. Look at verse 8 again. Bible said in verse number 8, "Having not seen, ye love. And though you see him not, ye believe." Then again, the Bible said there in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27, as seeing him who is invisible. I'm preaching tonight on the unseen. Thank God he's unseen tonight, but I want to tell you something tonight. That doesn't mean that he's not around. That doesn't mean that he don't know where you're at tonight. I'll give you three or four things. I'll give you the alliterated outline. Now I want to give you a message tonight. I'll say, first of all, tonight, he's unseen. He's unseen. Hear me tonight. But that doesn't mean that he's not around. You remember this verse right here. The Bible said in John 20, verse 29, and Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen and believed, blessed is he that seeth not and yet believe. Thomas, you've seen him and you believe. But blessed are those that have not seen him and yet believe. Thank God, this Tuesday. I seen him with the eye of faith 54 years ago this Tuesday. Hello, Tokyo. Y'all hear me? I got a birthday Tuesday 54 years ago. I saw him with the eye of faith. And he's saying here in this text tonight, Thomas, you've seen, you believe. But blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. How many remember this song? There is an unseen hand to me that leads me through ways I cannot see. While traveling through this world of woe, how this hand still leads me as I go. I'm trusting in the unseen hand that guides me through this weary land. And some sweet day I'll reach my strength, still guided by the unseen hand. Thank God there's an unseen hand tonight. Are you hearing me tonight? I'll give you four things. We'll go home. Number one, I'll say first of all tonight, he's unseen, but he's not unreal. He's unseen, but he's not unreal. Man alive, hear me tonight. Can I say something real quick? You know what really bothers me? Last year, Jan and I was in about 75 churches, probably that many this year. And I'll tell you, the majority of churches I go in, I'm not being ugly, I'm just stating the fact, they are not shoe leather deep in the things of God. I'll tell you something tonight, he's real. Did y'all hear me tonight? I said, thank God, he's real tonight. He's unseen, but he's not unreal. Can I ask you a question? Is he real to you? Is he real to you? I want to tell you tonight, he's real to me tonight. I'm glad, thank God, he walks with me, he talks with me, he tells me I'm his home. He's real tonight. Oh, my soul, hear me tonight. He's unseen, but he's not unreal. And I was preaching this week in revival, camp meeting. And a guy I used to pastor was there. And I preached one night on blessed assurance. And I knew what would happen when I preached that message. That particular guy, I was his pastor for years and years. That particular guy was the first one that hit the altar. And for years and years and years, while I was his pastor, he never could get on the top of the fact of being saved. That he knew he was saved. And he never could get the assurance of that. Can I make a statement tonight? Well, y'all hear this statement. Hear what I'm saying. It's too real not to be real. I said, it's too real, thank God, not to be real tonight. Hear me tonight. Thank God he's real tonight. I say he's real tonight. I go to sleep at night, and I say, good night, Lord. I wake up in the morning, and I say, good morning, Lord. Most Baptists wake up in the morning and say, good Lord, this morning. Oh, you hear me? But I wake up and good morning, Lord. I'll tell you tonight, hallelujah, he's real tonight. And the longer I'm saved and the more I read my Bible and the more I walk with God, thank God, I say he's real this evening. I want to say tonight he's unseen, but he's not unreal. Can I say this for a move? Is he real to you? Look up here. Brother Robert, he's not something I put on Sunday morning and take off Sunday night. He's not something I put on Wednesday night. I will tell you, hallelujah, bless his name. I say bless his name tonight. He's real in my soul tonight. He's real tonight. He's unseen, but he's not unreal. You know, God reveals himself to man many ways, but I'll give you three quickly. Number one, he reveals himself to man through creation. Romans chapter number one, boy, what a chapter. When you come to Romans chapter number one, if you'll study that chapter, you'll find he says in Romans chapter one, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen and being understood by the things which are made. Let me tell you something tonight. If you didn't have a Bible, if you didn't have Amazing Grace Baptist Church, if you didn't have our pastor to preach to you tonight, I won't tell you if you didn't have anything tonight. All you got to do is walk out and look at creation tonight. Hey, hey, it don't, listen to me tonight. Who made them maple leaves up yonder? Going into my cabin, who made them maple leaves red? And who's going to cause them leaves to fall off? And about April next year, who's going to call? I'm about to shout. Are y'all hearing me? I say he's too real, thank God, not to be real. You see him by creation. I won't tell you you can know him because of creation. But can I say this tonight? We know him because of creation. But I don't say he's real tonight because of consciousness. Consciousness. The Bible said in Romans chapter 2, when the Gentiles which have no law, and by nature do those things that are contrary to the law, and we don't have a law. And he goes down in the next verse and talks about how the law, how our conscience. Let me tell you something tonight. There's not an infidel in this world that doesn't have a conscience. And then that conscience says to you, there is a God. Hey, they said, listen to me, before I got saved, I believe. I said, before I got saved, I believe. But I didn't exercise faith. I believe that chair right there hold me up all day long. I really believe it will. All 135 pounds of me would hold it up. I'm preaching, look at me. every bit hit all it up. But I can't 100% tell you that and I'll do this. Are you hearing me? And I'll tell you, all my life I believed about God. But 54 years ago this Tuesday, I set out in faith. I set out in faith. I believe what he said tonight. In my conscience, I knew there's a God. Listen, we know he's real because of creation. He's real because of conscience. He's real because of Calvary. Are you hearing me now? Thank God on a hill far away. I stood an old rugged cross. Him of a suffering and shame. He's real because of Calvary. He's real because of the changed life. How in the world do you take a drunk and make a preacher out of it? How do you take a streetwalker and a prostitute and change her life, and she come in here and get in the choir and start singing? I know how. I said, I know how, thank God. It's through the blood of Calvary she sang about tonight. He's real tonight. Listen tonight. He's unseen, but he's not unreal. He's unseen, but he's not unreal. Do you ever talk to him? You ever fellowship with him? I don't have an upper room. I have a lower room. My altar's in my basement. I do a lot of praying in my altar. I got a list there that I pray for. Pray for this church many, many times a week. And our pastor many times a week. Pray twice as much for his wife as I do him. But anyhow, hear me real good. I get down there sometime. Boy, I don't tell you, it gets real in my basement. I'm sitting there in an office chair, a recliner office chair. It's got wheels on it. It gets so real sometimes I cut donuts in that office chair. Are you hearing me? I'm too old to run, so I just sit there and do it in the chair. Hey, hear me tonight. He's unseen, but he's not unreal. He's unseen. Thank God he's not unreal tonight. I want to say number two tonight. Having not seen, he loved. And having now seen him not, you believed. Again, Moses said in Hebrews there, as seeing him who is invisible. I want to say he's unseen, but he's not unreal. But can I say quickly tonight? I'm preaching on unseen. Number two, he's unseen, but not unknown. He's unseen, but not unknown. Look at verse 3. Bible said in our text in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, and that's the only kind he's got. Amen. Abundant mercy have begotten us again unto a lively hope. Can I tell you this tonight? He's unseen, but he's not unknown. I got born again. That's exactly what our preacher did a great job preaching on this morning. I got born again 54 years ago. And I'll tell you this tonight. He's unseen, but he's not unknown. I'm glad I know him tonight. I'm glad I know who he is tonight. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. Y'all know that song tonight? And may I say to you tonight, he's unseen, but he's not unknown tonight. Listen to this verse. This is an amazing verse. The Bible said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, Paul said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering and being made conformable to his death. Listen to this. Paul said that I might know him. Do you realize how long Paul had been saved when he made that statement? Are y'all hearing me tonight? Do you realize how long? Probably 30-some years when Paul wrote that to that church of Philippi. And Paul said that I might know him. And may I say this to you tonight? He's unseen, but he's not unknown. Thank God I'm glad I know him tonight. Hey, he's not unknown tonight. I thought about this today. Man, I got so many thoughts. I got to skip some of this. But I thought about John chapter 20. If you missed his Sunday school lesson in John 21 this morning, you missed an awesome blessing. That was awesome. But I thought about John 20. He's unknown, but he's unseen, but he's not unknown. Bible said in John chapter 20, and Mary stood without side of the sepulcher. He's been crucified. Jesus has been put in a tomb. And Mary stood without the sepulcher weeping. And she stood around there weeping and a crying. And the Bible said there's two angels there and stood there. And said, why weepest thou? She says in verse 14, and when she had thus said, verse number 13 it is, she said, because they've taken my Lord away, and I know not where they've laid him. Bible said in verse 14, when she had thus said, he turned himself back, and she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing there and knew not that it was Jesus. Listen to verse 15. And Jesus said unto her, or verse 16 it is, and Jesus said unto her, Mary. Did you get what I just said? Mary. And when he said that, he's unseen, but he's not unknown. She'd heard that voice before. Oh, yeah. And when he said that, she turned to embrace him. Brother Ted, she was going to hug him. She turned to embrace him. And when she turned to embrace him, he said this, touch me not, because I'm not yet ascended my Father and your Father, my God and your God. He's getting ready to take that blood and put it on the altar. Are you hearing me? And are you hearing what? Have you ever heard him call your name? Yeah. Has there ever been a time in a midnight hour you need somebody to speak to your heart and bless your soul? Yeah. Oh, my soul, I say tonight, he's unseen, but he's not unknown tonight. Mary, and when he said that one word, she turned. And I won't tell you, there have been many a time in my life down through the years, down, discouraged, defeated, felt like throwing in the towel, felt like nobody cared, felt like nobody wanted anything. But I won't tell you, in a midnight hour, he come a walking by faith and spoke to my heart. Hear me tonight, he's unseen, but he's not unknown. It's real, thank God. He's unseen, but he's not unknown tonight. Hear me real good tonight. Is he real to you? Do you drive down the road and talk to him? Do you fellowship with him and commune with him? I want to say bless his name. Bless his good name. He's unseen, but he's not unknown. He reveals himself. We know him three ways. We know him tonight simply because, first of all, because of his instructions. You say, he don't instruct me. I know who's young and you are then. Oh, you hear me? Bible said in Proverbs chapter 3, you know the verse. Verse 5 and 6, my last verse. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Help me with that promise. He shall direct thy path. Who is that directing my path? Who is that helping me? Who is that restraining me? I was coming down the road a few weeks ago. I was give out. I'd preach about 6 or 7 times, just as hard as I could preach, like a beagle on a hot rabbit trail. I was give out. I'd preached that morning twice. I was coming down 81 out of Knoxville, hit 81 coming this way. Man, I had to hammer down. And I looked up. And that when I looked up, there was this little black car up my tailpipe. You say, did it bother you? No, it didn't bother me. It made me madder than the devil's what it done. And I was very upset. I couldn't go no further. There's people in front of me. But after a while, he got where he could get around me. He passed me on the right side, by the way. And I already had to speed on the angle tape, but anyhow, he come around me on the right side. And when he come around me, we're outside, he threw me that, you know what I'm talking about, that finger? I got right beside me a 9mm that's got night sights on it, but I don't need night sights. And I thought, I tell you what I'm going to do, I'm going to slow him down. But all of a sudden, somebody spoke to my heart. You'll say, I'm losing confidence in you. Well, pray for me. I need it. Are you hearing me? Hear me tonight. You'll say, I never do have them kind of thoughts. I have some blank pages in my Bible. I sure would like for you to sign them tonight. Are you hearing me? And when I started to pull the 9mm out and do what I felt like I needed to do, somebody on the inside said, and not only somebody on the inside said, somebody on the right side of my car seat said, are you hearing me? You know why I know him tonight? I know him because of his instructions. He instructs us daily. Who is that tells me to do right? Who is that tells me to keep on keeping on? Hey, who is that to tell me to pray and preach and do? I know who it is. I know him because his instructions. Can I say this tonight? For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. John 16, he said, he lead us into all truth. And may I say this tonight? For 54 years, he just been directing, been leading. It's too real. It's just too real not to be real. Are you hearing me? It's too real not to be real. We know him tonight, not only because his instructions, we know him because his inspiration. You say, what are you talking about? You ever get in a service and it gets about 9 mile deep? Hello, look up here, listen to me. I said, you ever get in a good church service? That's the preacher, I think it was last week or week before last one. I said, how'd it go today? He said, many ought to have been there. The choir bloated out, and whoever it was singing, I forgot who he said it was. He said it was unreal. Said just unreal. And hey, you know what them kind of services make me want to do? I say, we know them because of the inspiration. You know what them kind of services make me want to do? They make me want to go out here and go bear hunting with a switch. Hey, are y'all hearing me preach? Does it do anything for you when God gets in a service? Hey, I know him because of his instructions. I know him because of his inspiration. Hey, he inspires me daily. I know him because his intercession. Isn't that good? I know him because of his intercession. There's nothing in the world like get down on your knees and praying and asking God for thus and thus and thus and thus and seeing God do it. I got to move. I know him tonight. He's unseen, but he's not unreal. He's unseen, but he's not unknown. I want to say number three tonight. He's unseen, but he's not unfaithful. He's he's never failed me. Not one time. My wife is stubborn. There's a lot of that coddle coming out of her. A couple weeks ago, she had a bad night, and I didn't know it. 2 or 3 days after that, she said, I believe I had a heart attack. I said, do what? So make a long story short, I call immediately Dr. Doan. And I said, get her in. They got her in. Make a long story short, he sent her to a cardiologist. Thursday, we go to a cardiologist. He's unseen, but he's not unfaithful. And went through all the stuff you go through. And I said, okay, what percentage? From what, scale 1 to 10, what's the chance she's had a heart attack? She said 8. I said, 80% she's had a heart attack. I said, what are we going to do? She said, we're going to do a catheterization now. So Friday morning, they did that. But from Thursday to Friday morning, about 11 o'clock, I went through all kinds of thoughts. I've really been praying, and I'm not kidding when I say this, and I hope it ain't selfish. I'm praying God will let my wife and I go up together in the rapture. I don't want to follow her to the graveyard, and I don't want to follow me. And from Thursday, you know how mine does. And she went through all this stuff, what happens if this don't work, and what could happen if something lets go, could have a stroke, and immediately they may have to do open heart surgery. She went through all that. I went through it 93 times. But the doctor came out Friday morning. He answered my phone. Clear as a bell. No problem at all. He's unseen, but he's not unfaithful. But I want to make a statement here, don't you listen to me. If he'd come out and said, all of her arteries are all messed up, she got to have immediately open heart surgery. I want to say, he's unseen, but he's still faithful. If he'd have said that, I want to say tonight, he's unseen, but he's not unfaithful. God has a purpose and God has a reason. And I just want to tell you this tonight, he's unseen, but he's not unfaithful. I can start over here now, Brother Stan, and go down this side and come up this side and go down this side and come up this side and ask this question. If there's one of you in this building tonight that God's ever let down and not been faithful to you, raise your hand. If you raise your hand, I'll tell you what I'm going to say. I'm going to say, Robert said you're lying because I don't fight with you tonight. Are you listening? He ain't been unfaithful. Whether I understand it or don't understand it, hear me tonight. He's unseen, but he's not unfaithful. I love this verse. Bible said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24, faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. I love this verse. Listen to this verse. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot be denied. Are you hearing me tonight? I want to tell you tonight, he's unseen, but he's not unfaithful. Listen to this, I'm about done. The writer of the book that I'm preaching out of tonight is Simon Peter. I was amazed this afternoon when I pulled up on my iPad. His name is mentioned Simon Peter more than it is Peter. Simon Peter. What do you think of when you think of Simon Peter? I know what you're thinking. You're thinking over our the night of the mocker trial. Peter's standing out there when they're trying the Lord and got him on trial and going to take him the next morning and crucify him. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking about Simon Peter standing out there by the devil's campfire. And you remember the little damsel that come up to him and said, hey, you're one of them. You're with Christ. You're one of them. Peter said, you don't know what you're talking about. You're lying. I don't know who you're talking about. Yeah, I'm not with him. Lied and denied. But you know what the Bible said? Twice that happened. There's another one come up to him after that. And Peter said, I know not. I lied and denied that he knew who the Lord was. The next morning, they take our Lord and nail him to a cross. Standing out with John. Boy, you did a good job this morning. Peter wasn't at the cross. John the Beloved, standing there. And the Lord said, done. Behold thy mother. And for the next 27 years, John was a mother keeper. He sure was. He took care of the Lord's mother. There's some good reasons for that. And I ain't got to give it this morning. But here's what I started to say. They crucified the Lord of glory. Put him in a tomb. And 3 days later, guess what happened? Hello, Tokyo. I said, guess what happened? On that third appointed morning, look up here. All of a sudden, laying in the tomb, eyeball opens up. A hand begins to move. A foot begins to move. Up from the grave he raises. He gets up. Are you listening? And in Mark chapter 16, he gets up. And here comes Peter and that crowd coming to the tomb. And when they come to the tomb, they look in and see the man dressed in white apparel. And that man said to them, I know whom you seek. You seek Jesus. He's not here. He's risen. He said, Go tell his disciples and Peter. Hear me tonight. He's unseen, but he's not unfaithful. Peter denied him. Peter lied. Peter stood out there with the devil's crowd three nights before. He said, go tell my disciples and singled it out. And, man, that blesses my heart. I mess up a many a time. I mess up. You mess up. But thank God, aren't you glad tonight? He's unseen, but he's not unfaithful. Well, I got to quit preaching. It's 17 minutes after 6. I'm done. Watch this. I want to say, he's unseen. That's Alabama time. He's unseen, but not unreal. He's unseen, but not unknown. He's unseen, but not unfaithful. He's unseen, but not unfair. He's unseen, But he's not unfair. I wonder if you're like I am. Do you ever wonder why good people have to suffer? And it's right here in the text in verse 6 and 7. When you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaven, it's through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, it don't seem precious. Them doctor appointments don't seem precious. Them cancer treatments don't seem precious. Them trips to the funeral home don't seem precious. Them hard times don't seem precious. My good friend, Brother Oliver, that helps me in the jail, was starting chemo tomorrow. That don't seem precious. Listen to me tonight and I'm done. He's unseen, but he's not unfair. God's never done me wrong. I don't always understand. I don't always understand. I'll give this and I'm done. You know the story. 3 years ago, my great-grandson, Ezekiel, got sick. One morning, Brianna, you know the story. Brianna went in to wake him up. She couldn't get him awake. Make a long story short, he was 3 years old at this time. Took him to the hospital. Couldn't get him awake. Took him to the hospital. Immediately, they sent him to Winston-Salem. And at Elkin, they said he may have spinal meningitis. Did I say that right? And, of course, we was hoping absolutely not. He had the same. He had it too. We was hoping not. That can't be. That's not going to happen. And we heard about all the bad stuff. What comes with that and what's going to happen. And probably won't make it as small as he is, and heard all them stories. We prayed it wouldn't be that. They'd been at Baptist Hospital for a few days, and I'm down in the building behind my house doing some stuff. And I'm sitting there in the building, just me and the trio. My phone rings, and I don't remember who it was that called me. But somebody called and said, it's what they said it was. It's what we didn't want to hear. Boy, I sat down on a sack of fertilizer and began to weep. And I began to cry. And I said, Lord, this, I know you do things right, but this don't seem fair. This don't seem right. They're serving God. They ran all over the country preaching, singing. Lord, I don't understand this. And I sat there on that bag of fertilizer that day for probably 30, 40 minutes. Just sat there and wept and cried. Look up here and listen to me. There's a lot of things in this life I do not understand. My Father's ways may twist and turn. And they do twist and turn. Hard times. But I know in my soul, He maketh no mistake. He knows where you're at. He knows what you need. He knows what you're going through. And I want to get to the end of that story. If Ezekiel was here tonight, he'd turn every chair in here over. He'd turn this pulpit over. He'd readjust the PA system and tire these monitors off the wall. You'd never know. Of course, he got that hearing problem. But other than that, you'd never know. I'll tell you something tonight. He's unseen, but he's not unfair. Yep. A few weeks ago, I stood at the bed of a man of God that knew this Bible probably five times better than I do, 52, 53 years old. Eat up with cancer. Tremendous. Smartest, one of the smartest young men I've ever met in my life. Laying there, eat up with cancer. Knowing just a matter of hours he's going to be gone. He looked up at me and here's what he said, 53 years old, I guess it is. Looked up at me and here's what he said, preacher. I got a lot of things I need to get done. He wrote all the curriculum for Macedonia Bible College and looked up at me and said, there's a lot of things I need to get done. I'm sitting there and I'm looking down and I'm saying this, I sure don't understand this. The druggies and the drunks and the harlots, living it up, having a big time, living to be old. I think about Adrian Rogers, one of the greatest preachers of our generation. If you have anything bad to say about him, don't you never say it to me. Pastor of the Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee for many, many years. Used to be the president of Southern Baptist Convention. He's a guy that turned convention back towards somewhat right. One of the greatest preachers of our generation. 74 years old. Look at him on TV. Picture of health. Got pneumonia. dead. I don't understand that. Spurgeon has wrote all this stuff we read. 57, am I right? When he's 57 years old. I don't understand that. I want to say this tonight. He's unseen, but he's not unfair. When I can't track him, I can trust him. I say bless his name. I say hallelujah. What a wonderful Savior. I've never seen the face of my Savior, but serving him has been such a thrill. I've never seen the gates of that city, but one day I will. One day I'll walk on the street of pure gold. They tell me the half has never been told. I'll be united with my loved ones on Zion Holy Hill. One day, I will. One of these days, my faith is going to be turned into sight. Thank God, he's unseen. But that don't mean he's not around. Let's stand together.